We came in here last week and we spent half of the lesson, and we're going to just pick up where we were, if that's all right with you. It's good material. I don't want to waste it, and it's good to have. So today, we're going to continue what we were doing, though it's not going to be as much as it was before. Here's some statements. I want you to hear these statements from other believers that can encourage us if we listen. The stars may fall, but God's promises will stand and be fulfilled. Yes or no? Yeah. If God says it, it's going to happen. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but rather is the presence of Christ. You can do anything with the presence of Christ. It's those who do not choose that that makes it difficult. If our motives are the glory of God, we have tremendous freedom to dream with our hearts that are completely His. I love that. I wish I'd have written that. Here's one. If we just jump, His will's going to catch us. Let God be God. Move ahead with what you know and never overanalyze what you don't know. That's good information. I've given God countless reasons not to love me, but none of them have been strong enough to change His mind about me. That's a pretty good statement. I like it. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Well, that said, we're going to read Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the god of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? Aren't you glad that you have all of that written down for us for times when we have difficulties? He goes on with this text and says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Holy Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." That's the best name you could ever have. When we first came to Christ in our lives, it's easy to become quickly overwhelmed. There's been people over the years that I've worked with, and people were being baptized and trying to, you know, get some substance in their life, and they just didn't make it. Here's why. Satan has a powerful pull. You can't waller in gunpowder and not expect something to explode somewhere. Well, that's the way life is. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening. but rejoice in so much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of glory of God rests on you. If you suffer, let it not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Do you realize today that you are bearing the image of God right here, right now? What happens if we close the doors and everybody leaves? What happens with all of that? Did it go away, or is it there to stay? That is information from the Scriptures that says, stay here. There's a question. Do I deserve such a gift as the gift God has given me? Not everything about me works anymore. I suspect, looking at the age around here, that's pretty close with other people. Philippians chapter 4:10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at least you renewed your concern for me. And indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. And I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Listen to these words, verse 13. I can do all of this through Him who gave me what? Strength. Well, I'm just having terrible situations. I live a terrible situation. When I caught fire some years ago, that was a bad situation. And there were people all through this room praying for me, holding me up to God, saying, let that crazy man live again. And it worked. We need to ask ourselves, do we really believe that? Are you covenant people? If you're in Christ, you are covenant people. Will you mess up? Before this day is done, will you likely mess up somehow? Get over it. God has already fixed what's broken. All we got to do is live in what He fixed. Deuteronomy 31:6. This is information for us. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord our God goes with you. Not to you or for you. Where? With you. So that means, if I move over here somewhere and I've got a house over there and I go over there, does that work over there? Or does that just work in the church house? Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you and He will never forsake you. I've got a God that does not quit me. Our problems with inconsistency most often come on us because we're masters at trying to walk with Christ and handle everything on our own. Oh, I can get this. I got this. How many times have you had to do something and said, oh, I got this. And then you come back down, you know, you kind of head bowed down. I wish I hadn't said that. We're basically dumb people. You do know that, right? God is smart. God knows it all. The thing with God is, He knew it all before the foundation of the time. He knew where you were going to be at what time you would be where you are right now. Romans chapter 12, 1 to 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's where God is. God is in the middle of everything we have. There are those who choose to say, I don't believe all that stuff. That's your choice. I'm not going to beat up on somebody if that's what they say. If that's their choice, and they know there's a choice, and make that choice, that's their business. So I'm not going to hammer somebody like that. And I might wait a month, a year, or whatever, and say something to somebody again to see if things have changed. Things can change in a day or less, can't they? What happens in an automobile when that happens? Your whole world changed. And it can do that with other stuff. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want you to know that when He's urging them to stay in all of this, don't conform to the world. Don't get out there. Don't let it get out there and that's where you live anymore. You don't want that. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not repay anyone with evil. Be careful that you do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You ever had a neighbor that wasn't a good neighbor? There's people in churches that have Harley Davidson motorcycles. And early one morning, you're going to go riding 4:30 in the morning. That's not the time to crank a Harley. Because your neighbors will learn to hate you. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. When difficult times creep in our lives, and they do, they try to distort us. This stuff that's going on in the world, we've always had elections and we've had all kind of things happen. We've had things blow up. We've seen people who actually made them blow up. Towers that reached to the sky. Remember that doing? What in the world do you get out of blowing up a tower in New York City? Or somewhere like that. If we would listen to what Paul has to say in this text, it will give us courage and strength to join forces with others, and we can safely navigate life in this world if we keep the Scriptures with us. There was a time that people would not go hardly anywhere without a Bible. If they were going to go off for a week, they put the Bible in the car. Some people have more than one Bible, and they keep one in the car. In the world today, they want that kind of stuff erased. We don't need those Bibles. We need to get rid of that Bible stuff. If we would listen to Paul and what he has to say, we can navigate Scriptures better. There's a serious verse from the Scriptures we need to hear. It's in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 12. We're a team together. You understand that, right? We're here not because it's Sunday. We gather here together so that we can be together and arm ourselves to better thinking and better work. Ecclesiastes 4:2. Though many may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We want to help people. If we seek to help others and ourselves, we got to remember there's somebody out there to help. And if we don't do something with that, we can't just do that. God's in the process of making all of this work, and He's done marvelous at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 3 to 6. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we're confident in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but for our confidence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. God gives us competence to do this stuff. And actually, all it takes is reading it. Well, man, I tell you what, if I went to read the Bible, I'd probably be 3 years reading the Bible. No, sir, that's not true. You can pull that off in 10.5 hours. I've done it many times. That's not so bad, is it? That's better than 10 years. These and other verses are written down and given to us so that we'll have tools necessary to navigate all of the issues that come upon us. And it's a pure shame that when we have such a wealth of knowledge in the Bible that some rarely ever seek it, don't even visit it. The Bible is a living, breathing testimony of what God has left in our care so that we can learn to live with Him in any situation we might find ourselves in. We need to simply say, Lord, I trust You. You said this book is right. I trust You. I have a God who already has given me this. He's given every one of you that. You can throw it away if you wish. It'd be the dumbest thing you ever did. I have done in my 73 years a bunch of dumb stuff. We need to find ourselves surrounded with people who are secure in their belief. They're not scared. And when we struggle through difficulty, the ones that you choose can be very helpful in navigating. When you find somebody else and say, I'll help you with that. Get them on the right path. You're doing right. You're not making anybody do anything. One of the critical issues we face is summed up in the word peace. We've had songs that we sing. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Is that a song that we've done in the past? Yeah. Something like that anyway. Satan wants us to lose focus. You don't need to help that old boy. You don't need to help that person. You don't need to put yourself out like that and do all that crazy mess you do. That's what Satan says, and God says, son, you just keep on going and doing what you've been doing because you're doing something that's working. And there's going to be a trail behind you where others have learned from you, and they'll come up and do the same thing for you. If he's successful, this guy here wants us to lose our peace so that we can have his way and pull us away from Christ. I'm not doing that. I've heard about every kind of thing, and some of it's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Some of it has been brilliant. Just a brilliant statement. Somebody that hadn't even got all their teeth will come up and tell you a little something other than that. Man, I wish he had his teeth. I can understand it better. But it's not how smart you are. Is how much you care about what God has to say. That's what it's about. If you're going through difficulty, Start paying close attention to when and if you begin to lose your peace. And there are people who've lost their peace. When you lose peace, you're in trouble. There's nothing good standing with you when you're by yourself. And there's no one standing with you because Satan says, I'm going to make a run on this boy. But God will say, no, I'm not going to let you do that. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. In James 1:2-8, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish the work in you, that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. If anyone lacks wisdom, they should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Notice the text does not say it may be given to you. What did he say? It will be. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of a sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Isaiah 40:28-31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary. He will not go tired, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings of eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. You see, this is who we are. This is real stuff. I have a God who's on my side. I have the same God that stands in your presence. God's on our side, and don't you dare forget it. And every time we talk about this stuff in some way or another, Satan's listening, and he said, I bet I can mess that up. And those who didn't listen and who didn't care, it's real easy to mess them up. But you get somebody who knows who to know. I don't get it right, but I hang out with the one who does. And that makes the difference right there. Yes or no? And the church said, amen.